Each year at this time, it happens all across the country. College and university graduates pour forth from their alma maters, degrees in hand, and start the search for the elusive job. Welcome to Frankly Speaking. This is Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. This year promises no easy road for the recent graduate. The economy is still depressed, and the unemployment figures show no signs of dropping soon. Here to talk about what will face this year's graduates, and to give some advice for the novice job hunter, is George Mason's Director of Career Services, Pat Coretta. Pat, the picture was gloomy last year. Has the employment scene improved at all this year?
Well, Helen, I haven't seen too much in the way of improvement this year. I think the hiring of new college graduates will always lag behind the change in the economy by a good number of months. I'm a little more optimistic that come a year from now, this time next year, I may be able to report to you a more positive situation for our students.
Do students come into you pessimistic or optimistic?
We see both. The pessimistic people are the ones who've been job hunting or started their job hunt several months ago and have realized that it's not going to be as easy as they had thought it would be, or that it's as bad as they feared it would be. The optimistic ones are those who are just starting and are not going to let those fears manifest themselves. And I think that's real important in the job search, that they do maintain a positive attitude and some optimism throughout. But they're the ones who are just getting started now.
Now, like most universities, George Mason invites companies to recruit on campus. Have you been seeing a fall off in the number of companies that can come to the campus?
Well, when we started our spring recruiting season, we were actually up significantly in the number of employers who had scheduled recruiting dates. It has fallen off, though, in the course of the spring semester. As the dates approached for the employers to come to campus, we've had a significant number of cancellations. Now, some of that is due to the employer and change of circumstances. Some of it is also due, surprisingly, to the student. And even though the job market is as tight as it is, students either, because they feel things are so bad, there's no point in even trying, we have had some schedules go only partially filled, and in which case we've had the employers do the cancellation.
Is that unusual?
That's not unusual. I think on most campuses you will find that there are some types of organizations that are very popular and other types of organizations that students don't place as their first or second or third choices. And I think that's where we're having some of the problem with those organizations that the students may turn to as a last resort, and they're not at that point yet.
They're not that desperate yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What kinds of fields are those that still have the most jobs available?
Well, I think it's the ones that you hear and read about in the high technology occupations. Engineering and computer science are still very much in demand, and I think we could satisfy all of our students' needs who have those kinds of academic credentials. In the business area, certainly our accounting students are still doing fairly well, and the opportunities in the accounting area are generally quite good. Or students with a business background with an emphasis on information systems, application of computer to business concerns and management concerns. There's still a good demand for that. And sales with those organizations that have not been affected quite so much by the economic situation.
Like what kind of organizations would those be?
Well, some of the computer manufacturing industries, for example, are still in need of people to do marketing of computers. Some of the office product organizations are still doing quite well. But those opportunities for the generalist are the most difficult, the most elusive. And when I say generalists, I think not only of our liberal arts graduates, but also some of our business students who've chosen a more general management curriculum. They're the ones who have to really focus hard on what it is they can bring to an organization, what they have to offer, and have to do a much more targeted job search.
Is there any particular part of the country that is more promising for the job searcher than others?
I think that we've all heard about the movement to the Southwest and the growth in the Southwest states. But I think students have to be very careful when they look at geographical locations. They're going to find competition no matter where they go. They're going to find a demand for certain kinds of academic backgrounds and skills and not of others. I think a liberal arts student is going to find as much competition in the Southwest as they're going to find in the Washington, D.C. area, whereas your high-tech people will be in demand almost anywhere they go. To just pick yourself up and move, without having scouted the area carefully, without having identify the types of employers and whether they exist in that geographical location, whether there is demand for your kinds of skills, that would be very risky, extremely risky.
So it's possible, but you should do your homework first.
Oh, by all means.
Of course, this is one stage of most people's lives where they can pick up and move without too much difficulty, since they don't usually have families at that stage.
They can, but surprisingly enough, our students love the Washington, D.C. area, and geographic mobility is a problem we encounter. The vast majority of our students would prefer to start their first career here and then move later in their life.
How should a graduate begin job hunting?
Well, the very first step is one that many graduates overlook, and that is carefully assessing their skills, their needs, their interests, what they're looking for in a work environment, what they can contribute. That needs to be followed then by a very careful research of employers, an analysis of the organizations that are growing or that have special problems or needs that they can relate their skills and talents to. Then they can begin the actual job hunting process, putting together the resume, developing their interviewing skills, learning how to make effective contacts, all of those things that most job hunters do first, putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. We advocate the research on themselves and on the market as the most important step.
Now, I know nowadays that it's really not enough to start looking for a job after you graduate, that you need to start looking quite a bit earlier than that. When do you think a student should start thinking about his eventual career?
Well, it's not too early to even start as a freshman or as a sophomore in at least taking stock of what he or she finds important in terms of environment, the kind of situation they'd like to work in, spend a large portion of their time in, taking stock of skills and taking stock of interests. Looking at how part-time jobs might add to their credentials or help them test out certain possibilities. Taking advantage of observing how different people work, exposure to different kinds of occupations, all of that can take place early on, so that come senior year they've been able to focus a little bit more and can put the energy into developing the job hunting skills.
Would you say that even if it's not in the field they want to finally work in, that a part-time job is valuable for a student?
Oh, yes. A part-time job is always valuable. If nothing, it can tell them what they don't want to do. And that's a big step in helping them define what they want to do.
Right.
It helps them demonstrate to an employer later on certain work qualities or traits that are going to be important.
Where's the best place to start looking for a job, just in job listings? Where do you go?
Well, there is no one best source. I think with the market being what it is, students have to check all of the sources. That means not only the newspaper and the classified ads, but the yellow pages of the phone book, all of their friends and parents of friends and relatives who are going to have contacts out there, faculty, other students. The Career Services Office obviously is an important place to start looking, because we do have a large number of employers contacting us looking specifically for college graduates.
What characteristics will the graduate have who is most likely to be hired?
Well, I think that's a difficult question to answer. Some of the things that I think will make a person more successful in getting hired are certain kinds of traits, such as good communication skills. After all, the interview process is a communication process. The resume is an effective written document, so good oral and writing skills. The ability to be creative in approaching the job market, so the person who has that ability, along with some good problem-solving skills, because it is a research process. I think energy and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is critical. Mm-hmm. That person has to go into the interview thinking well of him and her or herself, and projecting confidence.
That can be really hard in the job hunting process, which tends to be rather disheartening, to keep that enthusiasm and energy up.
Yes.
What would you suggest for someone who is in that process and has been knocked back a couple of times?
I would recommend that that person not job hunt alone. Find ways of getting together with other job hunters or people who are aware of the job market, such as a career counselor, staff, and career services, to be rejuvenated, so to speak, to come in and complain to those people and get it out of the system, and to get a pep talk and some ideas of some other approaches. We run a job hunters club at George Mason, and the people are there because they need to that to help motivate them, to keep them going, to have them to help them think continue to think positively of themselves.
And the other people in the group are all also looking for jobs, so they can weep on each other's shoulders.
That's right, and it can save marriages and family relationships. Dump on other people, not your spouse or your kids. Get it out in other ways.
Pat, the club is a structured organization, is it? You have someone leading
yes,
the group?
Yes, in fact, we have two staff members who are leading the group. The participants vary from 8 to 12. I mean, people can come in one week, possibly not come back the next, but they drift in and out with targeted activities for each week. People are making contracts with one another, and that's another good motivating strategy. When you tell 8 other people that you're going to call 10 employers in the course of the next week and that you're going to revise your resume, you do that before coming into the next meeting. That's part of the motivating force. We help them learn some strategies for coping with depression. We emphasize the importance of participating in some leisure time activities, doing some things that make you feel good. Go out and buy a new hat or something.
Even though you don't have the money to do it.
Well, you find an inexpensive reward. When you've accomplished your goal for that week, reward yourself. Do something that'll make you feel good.
So, Pat, your advice to job seekers is to start early, get as much experience as possible, and above all, to be persistent.
Yes.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest or this program, please call 323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.